I heard another new rendition of the Serenity Prayer this week. Goes like this. God, give me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the person that I can, and the wisdom to know that that person that I can change is me. The belief, the faith that we can change, that we ourselves can help ourselves change, that we as a humanity can evolve and grow and change, is the very foundation of the Christian Church in general and of the Swedenborgian Church in particular. We are entering into the season of Lent. Lent, which will begin this Wednesday, is the 40 days, minus the Sundays, that lead up to Easter. Lent, the word is from the old English word for spring, and it comes from the root to lengthen, that our days, that springtime days, lengthen as they are right now. Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. The word Easter comes from the goddess of spring, Eostre. And her name, again, comes from the root for the direction where the sun rises, the east. Easter is about the sunrise. It is about the ultimate truth that light does triumph over darkness, that life ultimately does triumph over death. It is about the truth not only that we can grow and change, but that we can grow and change forever and ever. And ever, becoming more and more in the image and likeness of God to which we have been created. But we're not at Easter yet. We're at the beginning of Lent. Lent gives us the time to do the spade work in preparation for rebirth, for the Easter sunrise. Our teachings tell us that the way that we prepare, the way that we grow, is through a process called temptation. Emanuel Swedenborg says that good stuff is coming our way every single moment of every single day, but that we develop habits, habitual ways of thinking and acting that actually act as a deterrent to the good news coming in. It's our task as human beings to identify not in others, but in ourselves, ways that we do indeed block out the love of God. This learning and growing is a process of becoming wise. And as I mentioned in our first reading from Genesis, Adam and Eve were new to being human beings. And they heard the serpent's suggestion, and it sounded pretty good to them. So they took them up on it and were led out of innocence. But then we have the second Adam and Eve. We have Jesus, who is wisdom itself. And he is tempted. And he answers back with the word of God. The word of God. What is the word of God? It's the answer, actually, to everything. But what is it, the word of God? What's God? God is love. The word of God is love manifest. Love made visible. For each one of us, then, the word of God is when love breaks through into our consciousness. How does love manifest? It manifests in beauty, in peace, in serenity, in courage, in wisdom, in loving touch, in connection. Jesus is the Word of God. Truth manifest. So, it is our joyful task in life to seek out the Word of God, to recognize it. Now, a couple of things about this Word of God, this love, the truth manifest. I told you earlier, it is always coming our way. It is always available to us every moment. And yet, it is up to us to perceive and recognize the Word of God. And we perceive and recognize the Word of God imperfectly. So, let us always be open to the possibility that we are not perceiving exactly perfectly. And therefore, be open to recognizing our own shortcomings and mistakes and asking for forgiveness and choosing another way. In fact, it is this ability to recognize how we are not thinking and acting perfectly, which is our key to growth. If we think we're already doing it perfectly, then we react to life defensively and accusingly. Since we're doing everything right, everything wrong must be out there, right? And that makes Lent impossible. And it makes Easter morning impossible, too. So first we need to recognize that we are missing something and then be open to perceiving it, not only today, but the next day and the next day and the next day too. Open to perceiving the Word of God as only we can. I heard someone told me a story a couple of weeks ago about Holly Neer. She heard Holly Neer speak a couple of weeks ago. Holly Neer is a white, middle-aged musician who was speaking in Berkeley and was telling a story about how she became who she became. She's not only a musician, but she's a political activist. She speaks through her music. She speaks for those who do not have a voice. And she was talking about, again, how she came through that calling and that ministry. She was in her 20s, and she was walking down the sidewalk in a city street, and she saw a man crossing the street away from her, yanking a young child by the arm, hard, pulling him and whacking him as he rather brutally drags him across the street. Holly witnesses this, and she's horrified. She had been meditating upon and thinking upon how can she make a difference in the world? How can she speak to injustices? How can she make a difference? And then she witnesses this event. And she's unable to speak. And wonders, when do we open our mouths and how? This is all happening just in moments as this man is yanking this child across the street and hitting him. She notices, as he comes closer to the other side of the street, that there's a black man on the corner. And he's standing there, and he starts to tap his feet. And then he starts to kind of dance a little bit. And he's singing. And in the first moments of his song, she can't hear it because it starts out very quietly. But soon she hears the words. Hey, don't hit the kid. Hey, don't hit the kid. Don't hit the kid. The Word of God. Holly near knew that that man was speaking for her. And her life's mission to speak for those who don't have a voice began through the Word of God. Okay, I could end there, because the sermon's really over. But I'm going to give you some homework, if you wish. Lent begins on Wednesday, lasts for 40 days, plus the Sundays. In Lent, we are invited to fast and pray. Now, in today's lifestyle, that means doesn't mean don't ever eat. And don't do anything but talk to God. But it can mean this. Choose one thing that you do almost every day that takes up some space and time in your life that isn't absolutely necessary. There is a place inside each one of us where God speaks to us. It is an empty place where we are able to hear the Word of God. In theological language, we call it the Holy of Holies. It's the chancel, the altar. Now, just like when we come to church, we don't bring with us our laptops, our cell phones, our microwaves, our to-do lists, the laundry. If we are to enter into the Holy of Holies during Lent, think of one thing that you do on a regular basis that you could do without for 40 days. It's probably not going to be your laptop or your microwave or your cell phone. But maybe it's what? Who has ideas? Coffee. By the way, the first thing that came to your mind is probably what you might consider coffee, television. What was it? Sugar? Chocolate? Beer. A car? Yeah. Yeah. Peas? Yes. Good, Lana. Peas. Complaining. That's excellent. These are all excellent. That's an excellent one. Complaining. Yelling at the other drivers who don't drive as well as you as you're driving. Anyone not have an idea yet? So, think of, choose something. Do without it. Not to punish yourself. Not because you're bad and you need to be punished. But because it is possible for you to make more space in your life for the Word of God. And we all think and act in ways that fill up a very precious place inside of us. And that if we stop doing that simple thing, we are inviting ourselves to hear the Word of God. Just a suggestion. But if you do it, take some time at the end of each day to reflect upon how the day was different because you didn't do what you usually do. And ask yourself, too, was there any time today that I heard the Word of God? And see what comes. That's the prayer part of the fasting and prayer. Listen.